Yet parallel to this European Christian development of Aristotle's thought was another equally important Eastern development, which was eventually to have a profound effect on medieval Europe. During the early centuries of the first millennium AD, the body of Aristotle's work remained lost to the Western world. Only in the Middle East did scholars continue to study the full range of his philosophy. The 7th century saw the rise of Islam, followed by widespread Arabic conquest throughout the Middle East. Islamic intellectuals quickly recognized the merits of Aristotle's works, discerning in them no conflict with their religious faith, and began interpreting them for their own purposes. Aristotle's teachings were soon absorbed to the point where almost all Islamic philosophy was derived from interpretations of his thought. It was the Arabs who first understood that Aristotle was one of the great philosophers. While the Western world sank into the Dark Ages, the Islamic world continued to develop intellectually. Indicative of this rich heritage are the words we have absorbed from Arabic, such as algebra, alcohol, and alchemy. But greatest of all was their use of Arabic numerals, while in the Western world mathematics remained hamstrung by the use of Roman numerals. Divide LXXXVII by XLIV using only Roman numerals, and the difficulties of more refined calculation immediately become apparent. Not for nothing is it said that the only Roman who appears in the history of mathematics is the soldier who slew Archimedes. In the East, Aristotelian philosophy was developed by two great Islamic scholars, Abu Aki al-Husayn ibn Abd Allah ibn Sana, fortunately known to us as Avicenna, was born in Persia at the end of the 10th century and emerged as one of the greatest philosopher-scientists of the Islamic world. His voluminous works on medicine were among the finest ever written, noble attempts to lift this subject from the quackery that it has never quite been able to forswear. Avicenna even attempted to remedy what he saw as elements of quackery in the works of Aristotle. He discerned various problems that Aristotle had overlooked, and even gave answers to these problems such as Aristotle might have given had he seen them in the first place. His attempts to render Aristotle's thought more systematic are masterly and tie up many loose ends. Unfortunately, much of Avicenna's work only closed off options that Aristotle had always wished to be left open. Aristotle knew he couldn't know everything. Avicenna felt otherwise.